The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Good day, Mr. Chady.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I guess Andrew will be joining you. Joining in?
Yes, Dr. Andrew should be here shortly.
All right, okay. We'll go on with the show. This is my first time seeing you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, or tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yes, no problem. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on your radio station today. Mm-hmm. My name is Dr. Brian Chady. Okay. From the early stages of my career, I've always had a keen interest, let's say, in the fitness industry and exercising. Mm-hmm. And being a medical practitioner, I wanted to utilize exercise to improve the health of outcome of my patients. So what I did is I created a facility. The name of it is the Gym Clinic. As the name implies, I wanted to basically combine medicine and exercise and utilize all the good benefits of exercise to help my patients.
Nice, man. The gym
I'm also certified by, from the World Obesity Federation in the prevention and treatment of obesity.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So tell us about some of the success rates of your clients. So let's say somebody wants to lose weight. Somebody might be a little bit overweight and they want to lose some weight. What, of course, it really depends. What kind of program will you put them on? That it depends on their overall health. Do you do a checkup on them first? What's the process?
Right. Definitely. So most of the time, a lot of patients come to us to lose weight. But what I tell them, weight is just one mark of your health. You have other variables. So we want to really focus on your overall health. Yes, you will drop the weight, and losing weight will get you to a healthier level. But what we want to focus is on your overall health. So as I say, they come see me, we put them on meal plans, we give them to change their diet, we hand them off to a coach, a fitness instructor, so they start some kind of exercise prescription, we like to call it. And we monitor them over time. So we also do blood testing, such as cholesterol, HbA1c, that is for your sugars, things like that. So it's a really a multidisciplinary approach to health.
Nice, man. Great. So I see Dr. Andrew is in.
Hi, Beast. How are you doing?
All right, man. It's been a long time since I heard from you, and how are you doing these days?
I know I'm pretty good. I actually was trying to make it to the studio today, but the rain in Port of Spain is not nice.
Yeah.
So of course, thanks so much for starting the show for us. And of course, to all listeners, you're listening to Diabetes and You. We are, of course, chatting with Brian Chady today. And he's a physician at the Gym Clinic. And I think basically we have introduced him already. But I'm not sure if Brian, you got a chance to tell listeners about your experience, your qualifications. Before we chat a little bit more about the myths around diabetes.
Right, yeah. So I did kind of give a brief introduction, but let me just kind of reiterate it. So one of my certification is from the World Obesity Federation, and this certification is the international gold standard for obesity prevention and treatment. So I basically use that in conjunction with my medical experience to treat patients with lifestyle diseases, chronic diseases such as high blood pressure, diabetes, heart diseases, as well as using the benefits of exercise and nutrition to help them, right? And as well, I would like to say that it's not just focusing on just lifestyle alone, being the bringing in the medicine aspect. Sometimes patients may need to be on medication as well. So it's really a holistic and multidisciplinary approach to health.
So I think you're one of the perfect persons to chat about this topic about diabetes myths. And for our listeners, Brian was introduced to the Diabetes Association recently. He would have worked with us at some of our camps that we had. And I think Brian is one, well, Dr. Chady is one that we really are going to do quite a lot more with. And following your social media, Dr. Chady, I've always noticed that you put out information that's credible, and you often try to correct the misinformation that's out there. So that's why I wanted to chat with you a little bit about that today. And I know that we don't have much time with you because I know you are practicing, so you do have patients very soon to see you. But I want to kind of get into the myths, and I want to get into some of the myths concerning medical treatment. So treatments and therapies for diabetes. And we often see people advertising that they could cure diabetes, or they have this pill or potion that could take care of your diabetes. What's your advice to listeners who think that, or who choose to listen to those people, but also what's your advice in terms of do some of those things actually work?
Yeah, Andrew, definitely. And one of the aspects of the gym clinic as well is that I wanted it to be a forum of a safe space, a place where people could get objective health information unbiased to really give them the tools necessary to improve their health, right? So in terms of diabetes misinformation, I would also like to say disinformation. Disinformation is really the use of information for gain or negative gain or for profit or stuff like that, right? So it's really the wild, wild west out there when it comes to diabetes treatment, all kind of magical claims and stuff like that, right? But it really comes down to a lot of critical thinking, and that's what we need to use to really kind of navigate ourselves through this misinformation. And now that we have social media, and they have done studies now to see where people get their most health information from. And they found that most of it is from social media. So that's Facebook, Twitter, etc. But there's no regulation on social media. So how do we help patients to stay clear of these things, right? Well, it really comes down to understanding the root of diabetes. So a lot of time patients would tell me, you know, they come to a check and we see that their sugars are high and stuff. And they will be like, doc, well, I eat a lot of sugar recently. So is it that eating too much sugar or flour or bad food in general that causes diabetes? And just to be clear, when we're speaking about diabetes, we're talking about the most common form of diabetes, which is type 2 diabetes or the adult onset diabetes, right? Well, also termed insulin resistance. Now, some other people would like to say that diabetes is caused by their genetics. They inherited it from their parents and their ancestors. Well, one takeaway that I want the listeners to get from today is that diabetes is a complex disease. So it's not just your genetics, or it's not just your how you eat or our environment. It's more interaction between everything. Different, it's multifaceted. So that's why we have so much.
So what I wanted to get down to is some of the key. So in terms of some of what you said, in terms of sugar, so do we know if sugar causes diabetes or sugar doesn't? And that's one of the main questions we often get asked, because of course people growing up say, your parents always said, if you eat too much sugar, you get diabetes. I want to explain that to us. Does eating sugar cause diabetes?
Sure, definitely. Well, eating too much food, I'll keep the term with just food. Eating too much food in general, it doesn't have to be sugar. It can be eating too much protein, eating too much fat, drinking too much soft drink. Eating anything too much will increase your risk of getting diabetes. It will not cause diabetes. So what I would like to say is that look at our environment now. We have an overabundance of foods. Foods are more hyperpalatable, more delicious. In terms of our lifestyle, we are more sedentary, more desk jobs, stuff like that. We are more stressed out now, more than usual. We're sleep deprived. So look at our environment, and we already acknowledge that we have genetics that increase our risk for diabetes, genetics that we have inherited from our ancestors, right? So it's more interaction, as I was saying, a relationship between our environment and genetics over time that is really causing type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance to develop. There's not just sugar. Now, why sugar is demonized so much, I want to believe the reason for this is that if someone is diabetic and they would, let's say, have a sugar-sweetened beverage, sugar would cause a glucose spike, and that is itself a danger, because it could increase the patient's risk for developing a diabetic coma or complications, right? So that's why it kind of gets that negative stigma. But let's say a healthy person was to eat sugar or drink a 20-ounce bottle of Coke, their sugar levels would go up, but then it will naturally come down. So we're not really concerned with just a sugar spike. It's more how prolonged your sugar, your glucose level is over time. So as I said, it's eating too much food in general in abundance, not sugar itself.
Mm-hmm. And so, but I want to kind of turn back the conversation, Dr. Chidi, towards these myths and the things that people would advertise. And particularly, I want to focus on advertising. Now, what's your opinion on persons being able to advertise on the TV, on the radio, on the papers that they could cure diabetes or any other disease for that matter that we know there's no cure? So what do you think? What do you think of them, and what do you think we should do about the situation?
Right. So again, there is no. So that's why, as I said, diabetes is a chronic, is a complex disease, and complex diseases need complex solution. So we need to treat it from the individual level, but also from a population level. And that's where things like regulations from the government, NGOs, health professionals, we all need, as I say, a multidisciplinary team to target this. So misinformation itself is causing a lot of harm and hurt for patients, right? Now, it is definitely, it is unethical to advertise these false claims. Now, the thing about it is that why is this so difficult to basically clamp down on is that, let's say you go by a doctor and medicine has limitations. So, as you said, diabetes, there's no cure. We cannot reverse it. That doctors would say that you can put it into remission and you can control your blood sugar levels. Maybe you can come off the meds and just maintain on lifestyle. But now let's say somebody comes with something exciting, like take this supplement or take this or do this program for this amount of time and you will reverse your diabetes. Novelty is exciting. And that when someone hears that, they're going to be attracted to it. Now, as I said, it's unethical and usually people have, they make profits. Actually, the supplement industry is a billion-dollar industry, right? So they make a lot of gains from these things. In terms of controlling this, as I would say, it's more a responsibility of our leaders to kind of clamp down on these things, the Ministry of Health, etc.
But what do you think? What do you think about physicians? Actually, the role physicians might play in educating patients about this.
So that's why I kind of stepped up my game with increasing my social media presence. And I've seen a lot of doctors doing this as well and trying to present that evidence-based information and combat that misinformation out there. So we really, as I say, it's difficult for physicians, and I'll tell you why it's difficult. Let's think about, are you on TikTok, Dr. Danu?
I'm personally not on TikTok, but DTT has a TikTok page, yes.
Right. So if you look at the algorithm for TikTok, right, it basically rewards very exciting buzzwords and short attention grabbing information. So let's just say I come and tell you, I can cure doctors. I come out with a claim, doctors don't want to tell you this, but take this X for this amount of time. That is going to trend on TikTok. But now if a doctor comes now on TikTok and say, you know, you need to eat a proper diet, you need to exercise, these are the things, the boring stuff that is going to solve, kind of maintain and control diabetes, not reverse it, but just control the diabetes. That boring information is not going to get pushed out. So, you know, we kind of punish the evidence-based practitioners are punished on the social media algorithm. So it is very difficult. I mean, we're trying, but it is difficult to kind of quiet the presence of misinformation.
But use the word they are boring. I mean, no.
It is boring. But good advice is boring.
yes, I would say it could be. But I mean, are there ways you think we could make it more exciting?
And that's why we're trying to utilize, as I say, the algorithms. We want to try to make it in a very fun way, things that are trending. So try to get it to be more realistic to the patients and their daily lives. So there's ways, as I say, we have to really come. It is more difficult, but we get in there. And I encourage more medical practitioners to produce more fun, interactive, evidence-based medicine content out there.
And that's the approach Diabetes Association is taking now. We have quite a lot of content being put out there with our sixth formers, and that's who I am with today. And we have a tour. We're going to be coming across to GML Studios very soon, a few minutes. But we have these six formers here, and they are doing quite, and you would have met them, Dr. Chidi, when you came to camp, you met some of them. And we're doing quite a lot of educational content that actually reaching a lot of young people and reaching audiences that we, you know, the Diabetes Association may have never reached before. So using younger content, using information in new ways that's more palatable and digestible. And for example, I'll give you an example of everybody's talking about Kamala Harris now and becoming the Democratic pick or soon to be Democratic pick. And if you look at her social media, she's adopted what we call Gen Z type advertising, and you know, she's doing the memes and she's doing the things that young people like, and she's attracting other people. And I mean, if we use that in health, which I mean people have been doing, but not so much in Trinidad, I think we could turn the not so boring or the boring into not so boring. But I want us to take a short break, base, and when we get back, I want us to open up our lines and take some calls. And of course, if we have any questions on our WhatsApp, we can take some questions. We're talking with Dr. Brian Chidi, and we're talking about some myths about diabetes. So if you have a question for Dr. Chidi about your diabetes or any comment you want to make, you can give us a call or send us a message. So base, let's take that short break and we'll come back.
All right, sure. Of course, our numbers are 625-2257. 625-2257. Feel free to WhatsApp us at 306-1065. All right, some questions here. Where in South is the Diabetic Association? And can you provide me with the contact number for North and South?
Sure. So the Diabetes Association has about 20 branches across the country. We have one single number, which is 607-3288. So 607-3288. And once you call that number during office hours, which is Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., you'll be able to press a number which takes you to any of our branches. So we do have branches in San Fernando, Pinal, Siparia, Point Fortin, Erie, and all of those branches we have in South. We have branches in St. James, we have in Tunapuna, in Arima. So once you call our number, 607-3288, you'll be able to contact any of the branches you would like to contact. Of course, most of our branches operate out of the health centers in those areas. So you'll be able to find out more from the chairpersons once you call and find out.
All right, nice. Another question. Good afternoon, doctors. Also base, I am diabetic with a stroke that affected my right side. In June last year, I got an attack that left me with a tingling on my complete left side, but still functioning. Is vitamin B helpful? Thank you.
So maybe I'll toss that to Dr. Chidi to give his opinion.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So vitamin B for the tingling, right? So it is very likely that, and again, I just want to reiterate, this is not direct medical advice. This will never replace the one-on-one advice that you will have with your personal doctor, because he will know your full history on examination. Now, vitamin B, there are some studies to show that in terms of neuropathy, that is nerve pain, that pins and needle sensation you get, and that tingling sensation you get. There is some research to say that it helps supplementing with vitamin B. But again, that is something that you will need to speak with your doctor to see if that is really the cause of that sensation you're getting, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Another question here. Does diabetes affect your blood pressure? Is there any relation?
It does not affect your blood pressure, but there is a relation. So usually when patients suffer with diabetes, we advise them to know your other important numbers. So blood pressure is one, knowing your cholesterol, knowing your weight. These are important numbers to know. And why they are important numbers to know is because diabetes is one risk factor for major events such as a stroke or a heart attack. Other risk factors are high blood pressure, high cholesterol, being overweight or suffering with obesity. So it is related, but it does not directly cause high blood pressure.
All right, guys, that's it for questions for now. Until we have some more, I'll let you know.
All right, Shobis, yeah. And I want to continue because we just have about 10 minutes left with Dr. Chidi, and he has to attend to his patients. We were chatting about of course, the myths about diabetes. But I want to find out from him, because quite recently we have an upsurge of persons, especially for dengue, because dengue fever is the topic that everyone is chatting about in terms of health now, because of the rising cases. And we know that persons are using alternative medications. So we have people using pawpaw leaves, and we hear people using different things. I want to hear from Dr. Chedi on his opinion on using these alternative medications. And I mean, we call it complementary and alternative medications, but what's your opinion, Dr. Chedi, in using or persons using these types of treatments?
In general, I would say that if you look at guidelines for medical practitioners or very high quality studies that we use to advise our patients and prescribe medications, there isn't any recommendations for the use of these complementary medicine or herbs or supplements. In terms of if I recommend it, so usually my approach to it is, if I have a patient on medication or doing a specific medical plan, and they ask me about a supplement or one of these complementary alternatives, I would usually tell them, oh, it's fine, you can go ahead, once it doesn't have any interactions with their other medications or doesn't cause any harm itself. But in terms of me outgoing and just recommending these things off the bat, I wouldn't advise them. For example, dengue, one particular treatment right now is the papaya leaves. Right, they're boiling it and they're making it into a tea or whatnot. But there isn't any, I would say, strong research to advise that this actually increases your platelets. Now, there are studies. If you look at studies, you will find studies. But again, not all studies are created the same. And where we get our evidence from is really the hierarchy, the top of the chain of studies. So I won't advise it, but if patients want to go ahead, I won't stop them, because it relatively won't cause any harm.
Yeah. And I think that's generally the take most physicians have, in that once it doesn't cause harm, then they generally...
Or interact, or any interactions. Right. Yes.
But of course, what we would advise is that you do tell your doctor if it is that you are on any of these things.
Definitely, because that is also a very good way to stay clear of misinformation. So, you know, if you see something on social media or you know, and it kind of reacts to emotions and your personal beliefs and stuff, like, write it down. And when you have your visit with your doctor, ask him. So, you know, you can kind of get that myth busted or see if it's true.
Yeah. And that's very, very useful information there, because, I mean, all people living with diabetes, whether they're very young or very old, are affected equally. Or sometimes I think the older people are more susceptible to misinformation, because often you see and you hear the shares that they have on WhatsApp. And I mean, even the older people on TikTok, when I say older people, the seniors are on TikTok, making TikToks even, but getting information from there. So yes, consulting a physician is very, very important. We really need persons to understand if it is that they have a question or they see something, they should, of course, ask the physician or ask your doctor. So Dr. Chedi, I know we just have a few minutes left, and I want to talk a little bit more about exercise, because I know that's your forte, because of the gym clinic that you have. I want you to tell us a little bit about how important it is for personal diabetes to, and I want to use the word exercise and also physical activity. And I want you to tell people the difference between exercise and physical activity, and how important both of them are for people with diabetes.
Sure. Well, actually, we had some guidelines released recently. I believe it was from either the CDC or the World Health Organization, and they kind of want to stay away from the use of the word exercise. And they want to push more to physical activity. So we tell patients to increase their physical activity levels. But exercise is really defined as any type of exertion of the body that is planned and you repeat it over time. That is, so it's like you plan that, okay, I'm going to take an hour every day to exercise. That is exercise. And physical activity is just overall activity, being active throughout the day. In terms of exercise, well, that is the reason I created my facility, because I've noticed that a lot of times I would tell patients during their consultations, you know, you need to start being more active, you need to do exercise. But, you know, we have about 5 to 10 minutes during a consultation with a patient. And then I say, okay, I'll see you back in 6 months to see how you're doing. So when you see them back in the 6 months time frame, not much of them would start exercising. A lot of them would start, or they would drop out, or they might just be going for a little walk in the park and stuff like that. And that is good. Going for a walk is excellent, especially if you're diabetic, if you suffer with diabetes, because that controls your blood sugar levels and stuff. But the right exercise, the right amount of exercise is really resistance training for diabetes. We really want, and this is something that patients are shocked. They say, well, I go and run, I'm very active and stuff like that. But you really need to be doing strength or resistance training and building more muscle mass. What happens when you build more?
I want to just explain a little bit more about what is resistance training. Break it down to someone who may not understand, or probably give some examples of things that they can do outside of a gym.
Sure. So resistance training is, as it says, resistant, doing anything against resistance. So you can do body weight exercises like a push-up or a squat or any type of just lifting up something with some weight. So you don't need to actually start the gym. As I say, you could just do body weight exercises, right? Or anything to improve your strength over time, and not just getting your heart rate up. So resistance training, and the thing about resistance training is that you need to do it over, you need to keep stimulating the muscles to grow them over time. Now, why this is so important in diabetes is because the more muscle you have, it changes your body composition, and you're able to basically improve your insulin sensitivity. So the body basically kind of heals itself. I use that word in quotation marks, kind of heals itself with respect to controlling blood sugar spikes and controlling your blood sugar over time.
All right. So I know we just have about 3 minutes left with you, Dr. Chidi, but we do have a couple more questions from
I have a call in, actually. Hello, good afternoon. I have a call in. Yeah, hello?
These boys, listen to the panel. Listen to all doctors and nurses. Shingles. Dr. Shingles, is it caused by, if you are diabetic, meaning, or the other way around, you cannot get shingles if you're not diabetic? I wasn't really shingles. Thanks a lot. Be listening also.
Just to be clear, he was talking about shingles, right?
Shingles.
Yeah, so shingles is a viral infection caused by a virus called herpes zoster, right? Diabetes does not cause shingles, and it does not protect you against shingles. So in general, diabetes is what we call an immunocompromised state. What that means is that your body is not able to fight off an infection as a normal, healthy individual. So if you were to develop shingles, you might get, just like developing the flu, you might get some more severe form of the virus.
All right, another question here. Which foods can work best to lower your diabetes risk? Some people say you should avoid carbohydrates. Others have said that your food makes a difference, right? That is being conscious of the sequence in which you eat foods, like nutrients can help balance one's blood sugar. Can you explain this? Also, one more question, are there any blood sugar friendly junk foods?
Very good question, right? In terms of nutrition, I want to stress on a balanced diet. Right now, that is something that this is another takeaway that we need to get from this session, right? A lot of people, this is another myth as well. They think that carbohydrates are bad, but carbohydrates are actually the body's first energy needs. We need carbohydrates to get energy for our brains to function. the most important thing, and that there's no such thing as a diabetic diet, by the way. We need to balance our food. So that's a good portion of fruits and vegetables, carbohydrates, protein, healthy fats. In terms of healthy junk food, you can eat junk food. It's all about moderation and your definition of moderation, and again, balance. So what will work for you might not work for somebody else. So let's just say you enjoy doubles. Maybe you can eat one doubles, or your friend could eat two doubles, and still you can incorporate that into a healthy overall diet once your blood sugar is controlled. Because as I say, it's all about knowing your definition of moderation and balancing your meals. So yes, you can eat junk food if you're diabetic. You just need to be a little more hypervigilant.
I'm sure some people are very happy to hear that. One more question. What about the use of vitamin C and E? Would that increase blood platelet count? Vitamin C and E, would that increase blood platelet count?
So there are a lot of different diseases and factors that can decrease your platelet count, right? One of them is dengue. There are certain cancers, liver diseases, right? That's why you go by a doctor and they investigate what is the cause and treat the underlying cause. There's no evidence to say that vitamin C and vitamin E will increase your platelet levels. You need to treat the underlying cause.
All right. Thanks. Okay, thank you. Thanks for sharing that, Dr. Chi. Yeah, I know that you do have to leave, but before you do, if you can, of course, share how persons could reach you if they choose to find out more about you or find out more about the Gym Clinic. Tell us how persons can reach you.
Right. So the Gym Clinic is on Instagram and Facebook. You can just look us up on those social media platforms. Also, our number to contact is 378-5766. So if anybody is trying to, come off their medication, implement a more holistic lifestyle change, more long-term sustainable eating patterns, controlling your lifestyle diseases, you can be free to reach out.
All right. So thanks so much for that, Dr. Chidi. And I know we just had you for a short time this afternoon, but I do want to have you on the program again. And I know that you're committed to be part of the Diabetes Association. So
yeah, definitely. I'm very happy to come and have a little more structured approach to diabetes and misinformation, etc. So definitely. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. And do enjoy your evening, and we'll chat soon. And Base, let's take that short break. When we come back, we just wrap up the program. I have one of our volunteers here with me, and I'm just going to chat to him a little bit about the reason why he volunteered.
All right, so we're back at the Diabetes and You, Andrew Danu and his guests.
Thanks, Beast. And as I was saying, and we did start, well, I joined a little late today. I do hope the weather is not affecting people too much, but I just wanted to remind persons that we are continuing our diabetic eye screening program, and we are in communities across Trinidad and Tobago. If you are living with diabetes, and even if you're not living with diabetes, we are going to be doing that screening free of charge. So if you are living in Port of Spain area, then on the 30th of July, we are on at Lions Civic Center on Fitzbachman Drive in Port of Spain. We had a screening in Toco, but we had to cancel that. That was supposed to be tomorrow. But the last screening for the month is in Port of Spain. So you look out to see what we have in August. But as I was saying, I do have a volunteer with me. His name is Vishal Radhi, and he's actually a new doctor. So he just would have finished his program in Mount Hope at Eric Williams Medical Sciences Complex. He's been a volunteer with us for some time, but I want him to chat a little bit with us about the reason why he chose to volunteer for the Diabetes Association, because soon we'll be taking on some more volunteers. We'll be taking on some volunteers who are medical professionals, well, not medical professionals. We're going to be building our volunteer base. But I want to find out from him where or why he chose to be a volunteer. But I want to congratulate him, because I think this is the first time he's on radio as a doctor. So he's Dr. Radhi, and I want to congratulate him like that. But I also want to ask him, why did you volunteer to be part of the association?
All right, firstly, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Dr. Danu as well. Not just my first time on radio as a doctor, but my first time on radio on the whole. It's been a really amazing experience here working with Dr. Danu and his amazing staff that he has at the Diabetic Association. For the time I've been here, I've actually been happy that as of recently finishing the program just a few weeks ago, to have the time now to actually come with the Diabetes Association on the programs that they have and the trips that they take. And growing up, my mom was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 21. So she had me at the age of 19. Growing up as, you know, as a young boy in a household where I have a type 1 diabetic mother, having to be taking her insulin and stuff, you know, just looking at the, you know, that timid, very tedious process of having to inject yourself once, twice a day, and kind of under CISO way that you have with the control of diabetes, and later on developing complications at a young age in her early 40s with diabetic retinopathy, you know, medical term for the damage to your eyesight and stuff. And you just mentioned the screen that you'll have and that you'll do at the Diabetes Association. So I just really wanted to say and to pledge the, you know, behind people to actually go and get those screenings done, because lots of people are diagnosed with diabetes. They have these soft signs that they see. Their eyes start to feel gluey. They start to feel blurry. They might mistake it for other things like cataracts and stuff, but it can actually be damaged to the back of their eyes and stuff. And actually having that tingling and numbness that Dr. Chidi would have spoken about with the patient that mentioned the stroke and stuff, you know, those little warning signs that patients usually have that they usually ignore until, you know, it's a bit too late for them. And I had my grandma passed away from diabetes as well, from sepsis, infection and stuff that she developed from a cut under her foot. So I just wanted to pledge how important screening is for the diabetic population, that we have not only just about, you know, prevention, but also when you also have, you have diabetes, but also to prevent further complication.
So, Vishal, Dr. Rahe, I want you to tell us, well, okay, so you're a volunteer, or you're working with us at the association, you're about to go into the world of medicine in the hospital where you're actually working as a doctor, but I want you to talk to the listeners out there.
Andrew, you seem to be you're going in and out a little bit. You're very low and going in and out. You're very, very low.
Oh, are you getting me now, please?
Much better now, yes.
I think it may be the weather.
Okay.
But what I was asking is that if it is that I'm saying that Dr. Rahe now is going to be working in the hospital, he's going to be working as a physician, but I want him to talk to our listeners and then encourage persons to be volunteers. And I wanted to find out, what would you tell persons, whether it is other medical students, new doctors, persons who are just out there, what would you say to encourage them to be part of the Diabetes Association? And what do you think is good? And what do you think the reason is that they should volunteer? Why should they volunteer?
That's actually a really nice question. And it was called that Muhammad Ali, that I still live by.
If you find yourself, you must lose it in the service of others. And I still stand by that till today. The young upcoming medical professionals, the ones that look forward to aspire to become medical professionals, I think it begins with volunteerism and the willingness to help. You have to find a lot of avenues in Trinidad, especially to be able to volunteer in programs like this. And the program that you all offer right now for the 46 Indians who you all have, about 40 of them, and then you'll have like about 700 applications. It tells you how safe volunteerism is in the population of Trinidad and Tobago, in the programs that they have and the organizations that they have. I'm very unaware of anybody else that does a program so multifactorial and multi-layered that you all are doing. And I just, you know, I haven't benefited from it because it didn't start when I was at Form 6, but I want to encourage those students and the parents or grandparents of those students who not only want to become medical doctors, but something in the medical fraternity or even just a life of service, how, you know, important it is to find those avenues to volunteer in and to find out ways to interact and communicate with people, because as you get into medicine and you get into, you know, your medical program, a huge aspect of it is social work, communicating with patients, being able to get, you know, your voice heard and stuff and understood and going in very timid. Also, these students are a bit shy and a bit reserved, and I don't think that there's much room for that in medicine. So I would just encourage them to volunteer, especially the ones who, as I say, are shy and timid. They kind of find their voice to interact with people, and the experience out there is really, really nice. And they get to also see people that they might even meet later on in life that they would have, you know, interacted with just on a volunteerism level, but also in their practice later on in life.
And so Dr. Radhe, I really do appreciate that, because as you said, you're here with us, and you did bring some of your colleagues to work with us as well and assist when we did have camps and so on. But you are, as we said, a new doctor, and congratulations again. What I want to ask you is, what are you looking forward most to working in the hospital? What do you think you're looking forward most, as you are now hopefully going to start very soon?
Well, I actually enjoy the field of neurology and neurosurgery. I actually want to go down that pathway, so I'm actually excited. I mean, as bad as it sounds, diabetic neuropathy is something that I'm a bit intrigued and fascinated about, that pain and numbness, tingling in the feet, and also that sensation that a lot of diabetic people lose their slippers, their feet start to get, you know, those calluses and stuff. And so that's, I mean, not to see the people with the pathology or the patients with those pathologies, because it's very sad. But the field of neurology, the brain, spinal cord, and nerves is something that I'm really, really fascinated about, and that's what I look forward to the most.
Yep, and I like that, because you see, this is the reason why we have these volunteer programs, starting from sixth formers, even the primary school education programs that we do, because we're really thinking about sustainability of the Diabetes Association and investing into the future, because young people like Vishal, young people like the sixth formers that we have, we're hoping one day that we give them the opportunity to learn and get the experiences that they may never get, so that it encourages them to give their life to service and to help more people and to give back to the association. So maybe when Vishal becomes a neurologist and he's this big specialist, and he could come back to the Diabetes Association and help us with all the people who are complaining every single time we have a show, Diabetes on You, and every single time we have a medical show on Freedom about the pain that they have in their feet, because I think this is one of the number one complications people with diabetes have. So I want to thank Dr. Radhe for giving me these few minutes, and again, telling us and encouraging some of our listeners to become volunteers at the association. We just have a few minutes left, and in that few minutes, I want to remind persons again that we do have services at our Chaguanas head office and our Arima sub-office. We are continuing with our diabetic eye screening program. We are going to be relaunching our HbA1c testing, and of course that's the test that you need to get. Every person with diabetes should get this every 3 months, and this tells you the average of your blood sugar for the last 3 months. We're going to be relaunching this test very soon at our Chaguanas location, together with other tests, and we're going to be offering these tests cheaper than anywhere else, so look out for that. And we also have our continuous glucose monitors. I've been talking about these for the last year or so. We have a newer version of the CGM, which is much smaller. So we're launching that newer version, that smaller version, very, very soon. But we also did receive some donations from some contributors, including one of the Rotary clubs in Port of Spain West. And we're going to be donating, or rather providing from those donations, 20 continuous glucose monitors to children with diabetes. So within the month of August, you'll look out for that launch, and we're going to be providing it with the funds that we receive. And we encourage persons, if you do want a continuous glucose monitor, we have them available for sale at the Diabetes Association, if you give us a call. Or if you want to sponsor a child, you could also do that. And we're very much looking forward to those sponsorships, because these children who are living with type 1 diabetes need to constantly stick their finger throughout the day. So this, of course, saves that, and this gives the parents peace of mind. So we're looking forward definitely to getting more support, and you'll hear some more about the CGM program next week. Next week, I'll also interview one of the other sixth formers. You'll hear from them and hear from their experiences, and we'll also have another guest talking about diabetes and you as well. So with that base, I know I might be seeing you in person base very soon, because we're going to come across to the GML building. We're bringing across the sixth formers. They're on tour today. They went to Blue Waters. Right now, we are at Tattle Building. And we're going to be coming across to the Garden Media Building for 6 formers to have a tour of the facility. So I'll see you soon, Bates.
All right, great, man.
And sure. I think we'll end there today.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again, and we'll chat again on Diabetes and You, all listeners, next week.
Yes, all right. Thank you very much, folks. You've been listening to the very informative Diabetes and You, heard every Thursday right here between 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Freedom 106.5 FM.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.